As we go through the book of Ruth, the Bible study title is Ruth, the Romance of the Virtuous Woman and Her Bridegroom. A lesson for today. This is the seventh lesson in this series. I think there are 15 or 16. Is a portrait of true discipleship. And we're going to look at that and what that means as looking at these couple of verses in the book of Ruth, chapter number 2, verse number 11 through 13. But I want to go back to verse 10 in chapter 2 of the book of Ruth and pick up reading there and read down through verse number 13. It says, "Then she fell," speaking of Ruth, "then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him," which was Boaz, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not hitherto for. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens." Now, this whole book is pictures and it's types. And it's basically a picture of Christ in his relationship with the church. And the lesson today is entitled, "A Portrait of True Discipleship." And the introduction there on your outline says, "In these last days, true biblical discipleship is not only hard to see lived out, it's hard to pin anyone down on what it even means." Now, the word discipleship or disciple, the word disciple is a learner. It's different from an apostle. An apostle is a messenger sent on a mission. But a disciple is a learner. And we talk about discipleship, and we talk about it sometimes in meetings, and we talk about it in church, about not just trying to get people saved, but see them be discipled in Christ. But to be discipled, and I made this comment one time, you know, it's hard to disciple somebody you can't find. But in order to be discipled, you have to desire to be discipled. And if we look at this scripture and we look at what this picture is, the picture here is we look at Ruth, I think we'll see that. Now this, I'll say, this is kind of a, it's not popular, the message that we're going to talk about today, because of what it is true discipleship. But I believe the picture that is given here is exactly the picture that God would have for us as a church. Now, what we're going to talk about first, and number one, is what Ruth lost. Let's go back and read that 11th verse again. It says, "And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore." Now the first item is what Ruth lost, but then it's the cost of true discipleship. And the picture here is that true discipleship does cost. Now I want to go to 2 Timothy, and I want to read a couple of verses in the chapter 4 and verse number 3. And verse number 4. See, I do believe that to be a true disciple, it will cost you something. And, you know, in fact, it will cost you everything. Because if you look here at the scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 3 and 4, it tells us what the days would be like, and, you know, in the latter times. It says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap unto themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." And I want to go to one more place and read, and it's scriptures outlined there on your outline. It's in 2 Peter chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 1. It says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there also shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." It says, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." Now what this scripture is talking about, talking about in the last days there are going to be people come in who are going to be deceiving. And it's kind of like what's going on in the church world today. You look around, there are a lot of things going on in what's so-called churches that are giving churches a bad name. And what it says here is, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Then if you look at the third verse, it says, "And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you." I was going down the road with a guy the other day, and I pointed out a church, and I said, "That's the church where," and I mentioned the name of the guy that pastored, and I said, "You know, he told his congregation just to be ready in case he tells them that he wants to buy a space shuttle." You know, and I read this verse of scripture. Now, that he did buy an airplane, and they did give him the money to do that, a personal jet, but I read this scripture, and it tells us, you know, what people are going to do in the name of the Lord. One, it's that they're not going to really preach sound doctrine, but it's also that there are going to be things that are going to be going on in the church that are going to give the church a bad name. Then there are going to be people who take advantage of the people of God. Now, all of those things really scare me. I take this very seriously, to stand and bring the Word of God. But if we look at this picture and what God's trying to show us in this scripture, what real true discipleship is, for Ruth, it cost her something. In fact, it cost her everything. Now, the question for us as Christians is, if we know what it's going to cost to follow Christ, how many people are really going to follow Him? Because the scripture is pretty plain. It's what it tells us and what Jesus spoke to us about what it means to follow Him. That's letter B on the outline. Let's go over to the book of Luke. And I want to read just a couple of scriptures to you. Luke chapter number 14. These are the words of Christ, where Christ spoke, beginning in the 25th verse. In chapter 14, verse number 25. It says, and there went great multitudes with him, speaking of Christ, and he turned and said unto them, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple." Now, if you want to fill in the blanks and you want to look at the 26th verse again, it says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brethren and his sisters, in his own life he cannot be my disciple." And here's what hate, the word, means in this context. It means to love less. Now, it's not the context of "I hate you," but it's to love less. And if you want to fill in the blanks, here's what it says. Until your relationship with me or with God is the most important relationship of your life, you cannot be my disciple. That's what God's saying, is he wants to be first. Sometimes what people want in their relationship with God is they want to define it and it be their way But the truth is what the Bible teaches us in the picture here in the book of Ruth, because Ruth is a type of the church, Boaz is a type of Christ. We look at all the things that Ruth had to give up to follow Naomi back to Bethlehem. Your relationship with God must be the most important relationship in your life. Mark chapter 8, verse number 34. I want to read one verse to you. In Mark 8 and 34, the scripture says, "When he hath called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now, for me as a Christian, and I'm here and I've got a wife here and I love my wife, but if my love for God wasn't first, then I cannot believe that my love for my wife would be in the right place or what God wants it to be. In fact, I don't think that I would be able to love her or treat her even the way that God wanted me to, if my love for Christ wasn't first. Because there may be times in your life that you'll have to stand and follow the Lord rather than following your spouse, rather than following mama and daddy or your children, and you trust God to do what only God can do to take care of those other things. God has to be first. Number two, says, until you're willing to sacrifice your happiness and your comfort and your will to mine, you cannot be my disciple. Back to Luke chapter 14 and verse 27. It says, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." True relationship with God involves a cross. And you must bear your cross. Truth is, in the day and time that we're living in America, I mean, we have little persecution. We know and we see that persecution is increasing. We have things happening that are coming against the church, that are coming against God in general, and I'm talking about the true and the living God. It's okay to say God as long as you classify God with a little g and say that every God is the same. But as soon as you stand up and you say no, the scripture says there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Rather than being acceptable, then you're persecuted and you're classified as a bigot. But I want to tell you what I believe. There's one God, okay? Allah is not him. Chrislam will not work. A religion that takes every denomination and tries to blend it together is just prophecy being fulfilled of what will happen in the last days. Okay? For you and I, in the day and time that we're living in, because we follow Christ, we've not seen the persecution that's been in the past years or even in things around the world, but it's beginning to increase. And our cross could be the lack of a promotion at work. It could be the rejection of family because you stand up and follow the Lord. It could be friends turning their back on you because you get saved and say, "I don't do those things anymore." And what we should do, according to the Word of God, is bear that cross for the honor and glory of God. Because the Lord says here that we can't be His disciple unless we give up our comfort and our happiness for His will. Well, if you look at this scripture and you look at Ruth, that's what happened. That's exactly what happened to her. Look at the third item under letter B. It says, "Until you are willing to lose everything in order to have me," this is Christ speaking, "you cannot be my disciple." You go back to Luke 14 and 33, it says, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." There's a song by Lauren Daigle that is kind of a new song. It's a contemporary song. I love the song. And here's what the title of the song is: simply, first. God must be first. The picture is here in the book of Ruth. So what we have to do, as in verse number 28, you must count the cost. Okay? Look at letter C. The picture as it is painted in Ruth chapter 2 and verse number 11. And I want to go back and look at that verse again. And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband. You see, Ruth lost her husband. Remember, she had a sister whose name was Orpah, and Orpah also lost her husband. But she left, Ruth left her father and her mother and the land of her nativity. What that means is the land of her birth and the land of her people. And she's come to a people that she knew not. So what has she done? Here's the picture of discipleship. She's given up everything. She's given up everything that she knew, everything that made her comfortable, everything that brought her happiness. And she said, what? To Naomi. She said, your God will be my God, and your people will be my people. See, if you go back to Ruth chapter number 1 and look at verse number 8. It says, And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, Go and return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. And the Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return to thee and to thy people. And Naomi said again, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that you may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, and go your way, for I am too old even to have a husband. And if I should have an husband, would you also tonight and should bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Says, Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And here's something I want you to see in this scripture. And this is where we have to be, I believe, in our relationship with God if we're going to fully surrender. When Ruth surrendered and she chose to go with Naomi, she did not know that there would come a time that she'd meet a man named Boaz that would be rich, that would be moved on by God, and he would look upon her, and she would one day, down the road, like us right now, looking at the book of Proverbs where it talks about the virtuous woman, and say, this is the only woman in the Bible that was called virtuous. She didn't know that. But what she did is she got to the lowest point, and she said, I'm going to surrender all to follow. And that's what true discipleship is. In the first letter, C, number 1, says she takes up her cross. Look at the 16th and the 17th verse in the first chapter of Ruth. It says, And Ruth said, this is where she speaks to Naomi, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Whether thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. It's something supernatural. It's not in us. It takes Christ in us. But we have to make the decision that we're going to follow. See, God's not going to force anybody. But you have to come to the point. And I want to tell you, there was a time in my life that I felt like, just like this scripture. There was a time that God was dealing with me and he was calling me to follow him. And I was at a very low point in my life. It was before I met my wife. I didn't know what my life was going to be like. I wasn't making very much money at all. I was driving an old beat up truck a long way to work. And I had to decide, with all the pressures of the world coming after me, was I just going to give up and serve God no matter what? In other words, I don't know where I'm going to live. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what my life's going to be like. But am I going to give it to God? And that's exactly what Ruth did in this scripture. And that is what true discipleship is. Discipleship is not us adding something else to this church. It's people coming and giving everything to God. Because you can't be disciples until you come and want to be. And that's why I believe that's why people aren't discipled today. If you want to be discipled in this church, we have Sunday morning, we have Sunday night, we have Wednesday night, we have celebrate recovery, and we have all kind of things that are here for people to get involved in, but people aren't willing to surrender and follow God, and they're not willing to take up their cross and say, okay, I'm going to give up my will for God's will. That's what the scripture says. He says, you can't be my disciple unless you give up this and you put my will before your will. In number two, it says she turns from all the relationships that were dear to her. You see, if you go back to Ruth chapter 2 and verse 11, it was known by Boaz that she had left her father and her mother in the land of her nativity and had come to a people which she knew not. So what did Ruth do in essence? You got Naomi, who is an elderly widow woman, and she's returning to her homeland, and Ruth looks at her and chooses to love her and go back with her and what? Glean in fields every day just so that they could live? Rather than go back to her own people, find another husband among her own people. And when Boaz looks at Ruth, and what does it say in the 10th verse? Ruth is humbled, and she bows her face before him and says, why have I found grace in thine eyes? See, rather than us realizing sometimes we're here because of the grace of God, we want God to do things our way. This here Ruth, she bows before him. She says, why have I found grace in thine eyes that you should take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz, who is a picture of Christ, he sees what she's done. Now look at number three. She turns from everything that she had built her life on. Remember, he said, and how thou hast left the land of thy nativity. Okay? Where she was from and her people. Now, this is not work salvation, but it's repentance. And it's true repentance. And here's what repentance is. It's turning from your old way to go God's way. The word repentance basically means to turn or to turn around. It's to turn and go in a different direction. I want to read some very familiar scripture with you. This is in John chapter number 3. And I want to start reading in John 3:16, probably the most well-known Bible verse. We teach our children, we want them to know it, and we know it. But it's the verses after that are the emphasis. Verse 17 through 21. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We like that verse. But the 17th verse says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now that's why the church is being persecuted in America today. That's why Christianity is being persecuted, is because when you lay a Bible out on the corner of your desk and people walk by it, it shines light on them. And they do not like it, because the scripture tells us that everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, that his deeds should be reproved. You see, when we look at this scripture, what happened with Ruth was really a picture of true repentance. She turned from everything that she knew, and she turned and went a different way. Now, the picture painted here of Ruth is a picture for us and the church. Now, let's look down at the application of this and how we apply it to us. If we look at our lives, what have we left to follow Christ? You know, when we get saved by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit comes inside of us and lives in us. And I mentioned this morning in preaching about how that I don't feel like as a Christian I'm missing anything. I don't feel like there's anything out in the world that I'm missing. I'm satisfied being a Christian. Now, folks, just like everybody, I deal with the flesh. I deal with me. I'm my biggest problem. The guy in the mirror every morning, he's the one I have to deal with. He's the one that I have to get under control. But I want to tell you, there's nothing in the world that you'll give up that if you trust God, he won't give you something greater. And I'll say this and I'm going to move on, because I believe everything that Satan offers, everything, is a counterfeit for something that God really has for you that the devil doesn't want you to find out about. And if people ever get a feel or a taste for that, the devil knows he won't win, okay? Now, let's look at what Ruth found. Go down to number 2 at the bottom of the first page. What Ruth found, which was the reward of true discipleship. And I want to go back to Ruth chapter number 2 and look at verse number 11 in the latter part of the verse and look at number 12. It says, she had come unto a people which she knew not before. Okay? Says, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. You know, when we get saved by the grace of God, we're born into the family of God. And something that's very dear to me as a Christian is my church family. It's not just my church family here, and I love the people here. And this is something that you'll understand as a Christian. It's when you meet somebody that's a Christian and you spend a little time around them, it's not like I just met them. It's like almost like you've known them all your life, because there's something that you have in common. The Spirit, big S, bears witness with our spirit, little s, that we are the children of God. Went to a singing Friday night, met people never met before, but it was a new family. Had something in common with them. When they begin to sing and the Spirit of God begin to move. But I can tell you that churches that Kendra and I have been involved in before, and y'all probably understand this very much so, people that you've known in the past, people that you've been around, that's your church family. And the truth is, when you meet them and you have fellowship with them, you will be closer to them often, more often than you are with even those of your own blood family. Because now the blood that links you is the blood of Christ. So there is a great reward that is given for walking and following Christ in true discipleship. Now, Ruth definitely left many things behind to come to Bethlehem, but those things did not go unnoticed. I want to go and give you just a couple of scriptures in reference. I want to go to Hebrews in chapter number 11, and verse number 6. Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then I want to go down to the 26th verse. It says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. This is talking about Moses. For he had respect unto the recompense of reward. Now here, I want you to understand something. What we're talking about is there's a reward for being a true disciple and following Christ. Remember Moses, he was down in Egypt. He was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. And he was raised in wealth. He wore the finest. He ate the finest. He could have had everything the finest in the land. But that wasn't what satisfied him. When he saw his people, knowing they were his people, mistreated, it moved him. And he gave up all the wealth and all that he had there in Egypt to go and be a follower of God. Went off into a foreign land, basically over there, like a lot of folks do. You know, I heard a preacher say one time, Garland Odom, that preached here a couple of weeks ago. He's the one that said this. A lot of wisdom in that man. He said he believed it took God 20 years to fashion a man in ministry. If you ever stop and think about it and you look at the pictures in the Word of God. Thought about Moses going down there the whole time. God was speaking to him. God showed him that burning bush. God showed him his power. He showed him his glory. He showed him who he was. But here we read in the 26th verse of the 11th chapter that Moses had more respect for the reward of God than the riches of the world. That's what true discipleship is. It's believing that no matter what I give up to follow Christ, my reward is greater from God. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 24. It says, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You know, I mentioned it this morning, I say it sometimes, godliness with contentment is great gain. And if we come to the point in our lives that we're willing to follow Him and we're content following Him, that's great gain, because you can have everything the world has to offer, and if you don't, you know, many people have a lot of things in this world, but they don't have contentment. Here we see Ruth giving up everything to walk out with Naomi, simply trusting, simply believing, started out living day to day, picking up handfuls of purpose. Boaz takes notice of her, and he said, I saw what you gave up. There's going to be a reward. If you look at letter A on your outline, it says, we have been made free from our marriage to the law to marry the Lord Jesus. And I want to give you some scripture to go along with that. We'll go ahead and fill in letter B, and then I want to come back to Romans chapter 7. It says, we find in Him, Christ, the reward of marriage, perfect oneness, and complete intimacy with Him. Now, I say that, and we're going to get over here to Romans. Remember that the book of Ruth is a picture of Christ and His relationship with the church. Remember, Ruth gave up everything, not knowing what was in front of her, but she did eventually marry Boaz. Now, I want to give you some scripture. Romans chapter 7, verse number 1 through 4. I want to read this. It's going to talk a little bit about marriage, but when you get to verse number 4, you're going to realize this scripture is talking about Christ and His relationship with the church. It says, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Now, what they're talking about here is Old Testament law. But look at verse 4. Here's what it really talks about. It says, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. And this is what grace has done for us. It says that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. So what's it saying? It's saying that because of Christ, we're not bound to the law anymore. And I want you to look at verse number 1. Here's the principle of this scripture. The principle is the picture of salvation in verse number 1. In verse number 2 is the example. The example is this, that we had to die to ourselves. In verse number 3 is the application. It says, through Jesus, in Him, through Christ, in Him. And in verse number 4 is the revelation, to be raised to the new life. And here's what happened with Ruth. Through dying to her old life, Ruth found a new life. But sometimes it's kind of like this. If God would just work everything out, tell me exactly how things are going to be, you know, solve all my problems. Kind of like, you know, why people come to Christ. There's a joke that, you know, I've actually taught on this one time in Sunday school. Coming to Christ is like playing country music backwards. Y'all know what you do when you play country music backwards? You know, don't you, Brother Greg? You get your truck back. You get your wife back. You get your dog back. You get your job back. That's what happens when you play country music backwards. That's why people come to Christ. But when you come to Christ and you surrender to Him and you say, Lord, it don't matter about getting anything. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to follow you because you're King of Kings, you're Lord of Lords, and you're worthy. The Scripture teaches us that when we do that, that's true discipleship, then He will bless us. That's where Ruth is at right now. She's in the field and Boaz is looking at her. And he says, I saw what you did. I saw what you gave up. You're going to receive a reward. And that's a picture of us. That's how when we look at this and we apply it to us. The next one under the note, it says, Ruth could anticipate a full reward from Boaz because she had found grace in his sight. Remember in the 10th verse, in the second chapter of the book of Ruth, she said, why have I found grace in your eyes, seeing I'm a stranger? Now, here's something about grace. This is the last one on here, number 3 on your page. This is what Ruth wanted. Look at verse number 13. This is what Ruth wanted. It says, then she said, this is what Ruth asked, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaids. So what Ruth wanted, and this is to fill in the next blank, the heart of true discipleship. And this is what true discipleship is. It's not something that we do for people. It's something that people receive from Christ. You see, what I want you to see, if you got your little star on the next page and you want to fill in the blank, says she wasn't satisfied to stay where she was. That's what I want us to see about her. She wanted to know the fullness of the relationship in which she had already found grace. So it's the fullness of the relationship in which she had already found grace, if you want to fill in those lines. Because a true disciple, a true learner, wants more. Read a verse this morning in the 119th Psalm. Says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Now, I don't know about you, but the more God shows me, the greater my hunger. Sometimes God will just give me a thought and I'll sit down to outline a message and it starts to come to life and it just blooms and it blossoms and I dig in it. And, you know, sometimes I've actually been sitting down at my desk, the computer, Kendra's computer. She wishes I'd get my own, by the way. But I'm down there and I'm working and I'm outlining and she hears me down there and I'm making noises. She says, are you all right? I said, yes, just good. Because God begins to show me things and the more He shows, the more I like seeing. And what we see here in the Scripture, something I want you to see that I found as I studied this, is if you look at verse number 13, what did she ask for? She said, let me find favor. That word, favor, in verse number 13, is the same Hebrew word as the word grace in verse number 10. And here's the point. When she found grace, she wanted more grace. And when you find grace and you find the grace of God, if you're a true disciple and you're going to follow Him, you're going to want to find more grace. In James chapter 4 in verse number 6, I want to read a verse of Scripture. It says, but He, God, giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but He gives grace unto the humble. Now, if you look at this lesson and you see Ruth, she was humble. She gave up everything she had. She said, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to walk with you, Naomi. And here's what she did. And this is a lot of times what people struggle with doing. She accepted the position that God gave her. She followed Naomi and she walked with Naomi, but she knew that she was the one that had to go out and glean in the fields every day. And when she went out and gleaned and she brought back the handfuls and they ate sufficient for that day, that was the place that she was at. never knowing that one day she would be the Bible's virtuous woman. Never knowing that she would be discovered by a man, and that there was a principle that God had prepared in His Word, in the law, long ago, called the principle of the near kinsman, that she would be brought out of the field and she would be brought into a house where she would be treated like the virtuous woman that she was. And that's what discipleship is. If you're not willing to get down and follow God and trust God, maybe you're missing out on the blessings that God has for you. What did He tell her? Boaz told her. He said, I've seen how you've conducted yourself. I've seen how you've left your own people. He said, you're going to receive a reward. Now, if we look at the scripture in the 13th verse, she asked to find favor. And she's surprised. She said, though I'm not like one of your handmaidens. One thing that I've thought about lately, and something that's been on my heart, is that, you know, sometimes people come into the house of God and it's kind of like working to celebrate recovery. There's things going on in their life. It's not like the life of somebody that's living for God. It's not like the life of somebody that you know, has a job and has things under control. Brother Tom mentioned this morning about how when we were, of course, we had a council meeting. Of course, I asked him if he would come up and mention the church, about how he'd get a call and there'd be somebody sitting on the steps outside the jail, because when they release them, they go out with what they came in. And they're released in the winter, and they're sitting there with a tank top and shorts on, and it's in January, and they have nothing and no place to go. And they come in the church, and they look around and say, I'm not like these people. I'm not like these church people. But here's something that, if we look at this scripture, she looks around, she says, I'm not like these people. But the truth is, you know what made her special? She was obedient. She followed God. And she was humble. And God highly lifted her up. Okay? You studied the Word of God. I love the first chapter of Matthew. Who's it talk about? It talks about Ruth. Only four women mentioned in the lineage of Christ. Only four. And Ruth is one of them. And here's the picture, and here's what salvation is. It's not being good enough to be saved. It's not getting yourself cleaned up. It's not trying to come in and offer what you have. But it's accepting everything that God has and letting God's grace move highly on you. When God's grace moved on Ruth, she said, let me find more favor. That word favor is the same Hebrew word for grace. She said, give me more grace. See, the scripture says He gives grace to the humble. And one thing we see as we study the life of Ruth is Ruth did not allow herself to become wise in her own conceit. And here's something we have to be careful of. It's something that the church should be careful of. It's something that the workers in the church should be careful of. It's something that I should be careful of, and every pastor should be careful of. When God begins to bless you, and He begins to lift you up, and He begins to bring you out of the dirt and the trouble, and your life is changed, every ounce, every piece, everything that God does, it's for His glory. And we should be very, very careful never to be lifted up in pride, but to retain that humbleness. And I believe Ruth did, and I'm going to close, and I'll tell you why. Because she's the only woman in the Bible that's called virtuous. And I believe the picture of the virtuous woman in the book of Proverbs, that's a picture of the church. Ruth is a picture of the church. It tells us how we're supposed to be. So this lesson today, and I hope it was something that was a blessing to you, something that'll help you, is a picture of true discipleship and what it means to follow Christ. I'm going to give you one place to read. It's in Psalms chapter 91, verse 1 through 4. I'll go ahead and read these just a couple of verses to you. And didn't Boaz say, under whose wings thou hast come to trust? Let's look at this picture of Christ. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. That's who we trust. Amen. So thank you for coming tonight, and hope you enjoyed the Bible study.